kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I have a title today for us to look at, and we're calling this teaching today, A Prayer Life Enables Us to Be Watchful. A Prayer Life Enables Us to Be Watchful. And I'm going to base this today from something you know very well in the book of Matthew, Matthew 26, and I want us to look particularly at verse 41 of Matthew 26. And here the Lord says to the disciples, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And we will look in a minute in the context of what the Lord says here, because of course you know this very well. But this word is interesting, where he says here in verse 41, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." This word to watch actually means to give strict attention. Or it means to something that you to take heed to. It's serious, in other words. And he's applying this with regard to prayer. So we already immediately beginning to understand that prayer is essential. And of course, he's using this right in the context of his praying and supplicating. He's brought the disciples with him. He's asked them to pray with him, to stand with him. Yeah. And he's come back, and he's found them praising and worshipping the Lord and in prayer, intercession, in warfare. No, not at all. They are sleeping. Sounds all familiar, doesn't it? What he's saying is here in the context, keep awake unless some calamity suddenly overtakes you. That is what it's meaning here. So we can now take this up and let's look at this in verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to the place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." So isn't it interesting that he's referring to his situation, his praying and everything, as being watchful? They need to see something. Jesus also, in his flesh praying here, needs to see something. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Now, there we are. He is bearing this out in his flesh. In his flesh, he doesn't want to go through this. And who does? However, there's something greater in his watchfulness. Not my will, but the Father's will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? So he goes to Peter and says, you know, we've been an hour, not even an hour, and you've already fallen off to sleep. Couldn't you watch with me? He says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He's asking them to be watchful and to pray, because something happens to the disciples. And what happens to them? They betrayed him. They ran at that hour when he needed them. And Peter, who said, I'll go with you, I'll go to the cross, I'll meet death if need be, it was all words, but he denied him. And again, the second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And so he left them and went away again, prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us go. Be going. See, my betrayal is at hand. So in his watchfulness, in his praying, he receives word of knowledge. He's been betrayed. The Spirit has revealed it to him. Now he could clear off and run, because he's had word, I've been betrayed. But he doesn't. And of course we know they come for him and they arrest him. Here, this is showing us something very powerful about the importance of prayer. It really is. You see, the Lord is also asking here for encouragement and support. He's looking to them. He's saying, can you stand with me with this? And he comes back. He's about to be betrayed and finds that they're sleeping, and even Peter. And does it deter him? Does he say, oh, well, if they can't keep awake for prayer, why should I bother? And we all do that at times. So how determined are we with our prayer life? That is the question. And we note also that he doesn't rebuke them, but he fundamentally says, well, sleep on. We also note that Jesus has to pray for Peter, that his faith fails not. So we learn something about the power and the importance of prayer. How that everything in the natural, in the flesh, went against our Lord at the time of his betrayal. I mean, I wonder how we would fare in a situation like that. You know, we're going to be maybe thrown into prison or whatever it is, and we find that the saints really have not been very faithful in standing in my trial that I'm going through. They're more interested in their affairs or what they want to do, or they can't keep awake. And we would probably react, wouldn't we, if we were to be honest? But Jesus doesn't. He doesn't. And he even prays. And he prays for Peter later on that his faith will fail not. And we know that after his resurrection, he restores them back into fellowship. There is the love and grace and mercy of God. But it tells me something more. It tells me about prayer, how it shows us things, how it reveals to us what the Father wants us to know. We might not always want to know. I mean, Jesus, you know, None of us would want to have revealed to us what Jesus is about to be revealed. You're being betrayed and you're going to be put to death. I mean, who wants to get a word of knowledge on that? Huh? No. We're all nodding our heads because we know the reality. But God is merciful. We know that he has some, like the Apostle Paul as well, who have been called for such a ministry. But nevertheless, we don't take it lightly. We still are seeing the power of prayer and what comes out of this. And our problem is, like Peter's problem, was pride. Oh, I'll stand firm for you. I won't betray you. I'll go to the cross if need be. Well, the first trial came, and Jesus said the cock will crow three times. On the third time, your eyes will be opened, and you'll realize what you've done. But the Lord restored him and raised him as the apostle and shepherd over souls. Look at the love and grace and mercy of God, how he never gives up on us, even though we fall short of the standard and so on. Just wonderful. And what is God always dealing so often with us? With that pride. Because that pride is such a hindrance to faith. It's such a hindrance to our prayer life, as it should be at times. But what do we also see with regard to all of this? Prayer enables us to be strengthened. What the Lord is doing here in seeking three times his Father in prayer and supplication, it is also strengthening him. What for? For the task that lies ahead, that he's to go to the cross. Only prayer can get him through this. Here it is, the Son of God in flesh. And if it was for him, how much more is it for us? Do you find at times you have little strength? Of course you do. We so often come to the end of ourselves, don't we? But we find that prayer is the strength that keeps us going. How often have we found when we pray and the sacrifice of prayer at times where it's costing us because we just don't feel well enough or strong enough to pray? There are times you feel like that, but yet you do, and how it brings you through. It's absolutely amazing. And this is why we're calling this teaching today, A Prayer Life Enables Us to Be Watchful. How we need to be watchful now in these hours that we live in. The enemy is everywhere, it seems. It doesn't matter what corner you turn to or what you look to, the enemy is there trying to trick or deceive or to lie and so forth. And so again, by being a praying saint, it enables us to be watchful, to be able to see his cunning craftiness and what he's up to. Because as I say every time, only God can show us what the powers of darkness are up to. We can't see otherwise. So again, the power of prayer. What does it say in Revelation chapter 3? Revelation chapter 3. And what does the Spirit say to the church at Sardis? Now, this church outwardly is a bit of a dead church. Doesn't look as though there's much life or anything going on with it. But look what is said here in Revelation chapter 3. And look at verses 2 and 3. Actually, let's take it from verse 1. Of chapter 3. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. That in many ways is a warning to the five foolish virgins. What happens to those foolish virgins? They slumber, they sleep, and they find through that sleeping they have not been as watchful as they should be, and they haven't that extra oil for their lights. And he says here, I've not found your works perfect yet. In other words, your faith that is producing the works, the fruits. This is what he's saying here. So he says, be watchful, strengthen the things which remain. So the Spirit is speaking to a remnant, and he's saying, I want you to be watchful, and I'm telling you how you'll be watchful. Work on your prayer life. We all of us have to work a prayer. I am not going to say that it is easy. It's not. And I find when I want to press in more with prayer, very often the enemy can get very vocal, or you find that things start happening and it tries to stop you from getting into prayer. You can see it working. It's all very subtle. But of course, it's a good giveaway, isn't it? Which tells us he knows where the power lies. So he's saying here, be watchful, strengthen those things which remain. In other words, what he's teaching us. And what's the Spirit teaching us today? Well, he's teaching us about prayer. He's warning us. He's telling us, don't give in. Don't become lazy. Keep at it. Keep in prayer, because this is going to enable you to be watchful. Because he says, I've not yet found your works perfect before God. He says, remember how you have heard. We go back to the deeper life. How God has taught us faith and the deeper life over the years. This is why we don't deviate from it. Because he's saying the same here to the church at Sardis. Remember how you've heard. Hold fast. In other words, don't let it go. Because some have. And he says, because if you don't watch, the enemy's going to come like a thief. Now that tells me they're going to miss out on the rapture. Because that's how he's going to come, the Lord. Like a thief in the night. So we can draw these parallels, you see. And let's also look in Revelation 16, verse 15. Revelation 16 and verse 15. And here is where the bowls, the seals, the judgments are falling now on the earth. God's wrath is going forth, and we see in Revelation 16 and verse 15, he says, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. So there, right through the great tribulation, the Lord is still telling the remnant that is left still to be watchful. That's what he's saying. So this watchfulness is essential for Christians, because the first fruits, the overcomers, have gone. They've been raptured. The bride has now been taken. But there are still believers on the earth who are facing the Antichrist. And he's saying to them, be watchful. Now, when you talk, it talks about being watchful, it's also talking about prayer. Because the two go together. If ever you hear this term, be watchful, you automatically think as well, yes, I need to be in prayer. Because prayer enables me to be watchful. That is the whole point. You can't separate it. And that's why, you see, the humble hear the importance of this. And they remain faithful to this. Why? What do we mean by the humble? Well, when I prepared this, I found myself saying, Lord, please help me to be faithful to this. Amen. Whatever still is a hindrance in my life of me being watchful and being faithful in prayer, please deal with it. Remove any obstacle so that I can fulfill this for your glory. That's what the word of God should do with us. Now, is God going to turn a deaf ear to that? No, if you mean that, because you are asking that this word does its work in my heart. Because Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer. And it's not easy at times praying. You know, you can't go by feelings with regard to prayer. Sometimes you just don't feel anything, but you know you need to pray on that specific thing, or you need to pray for that brother or that sister or whatever it is. I just say to myself, Kim, just do it. Just do it. I do. I have to say that sometimes because I don't feel like it. You know, to just get and pray. You know, and I've had a hard day, or I've missed it a mile off. And to pray, that's the last thing I want to do. And I just say, get on and do it. Grow up, man. That's what I say to myself sometimes. And it works. It helps me. Now, of course, we're all different. But that's how it works for me. Because we're called to be overcomers. And it keeps us committed. It keeps us before God. It deals with those hindrances, you see. And that's why I just say, just do it. Arguing and reasoning or finding excuses, that's where you miss it. That's where I've missed it over the years. And we will always find, flesh will always find an excuse. Trust me. It will always find an excuse, particularly for prayer. You see, the prayer now that is essential for the overcomer delivers us. It delivers us from not seeing what we should be seeing. That's what it does. There's still things God needs to reveal to us. And we have to grow and mature into it. We're not ready yet. But he's going to reveal to us more and more what we have need of seeing. And that will always come as a result of being faithful to the word and to prayer. Amen. And he will show us at that right time when we're ready. But also, it does something else. It stops me from being sleepy. It stops me from becoming a foolish virgin. And you'll soon begin to see the signs of becoming that foolish virgin. Because it's always connected with sleepiness. It's a spiritual sleepiness. Oh, I'll deal with it tomorrow. I can't handle it now. Of course, tomorrow never comes. We have to handle it. It doesn't matter how we feel. If God is speaking to us, or he's speaking to me, or he's speaking to us as an assembly, we have to hear. Because we won't hear it tomorrow. We have to hear it today, now, you see. And remember always, no matter how you feel, whatever you've gone through, God says, my grace is sufficient. And I don't know how he does that, but he does it. I'm glad I can't really work it out. because then it's all for the glory of God. But he does, that's what he says, my grace is sufficient. So it watches this spiritual sleepiness that we can have. It also, I touched on it, but I'll bring it up even more. It enables us to be watchful to the enemy's tactics. Not always to the big roaring voice, but the enemy who is the quiet serpent, who gets through the smallest hole and crevices. That's what he wants us to be awake to. Now, why is this? Why is this? Well, we're told, let me give you an analogy. We're told in medical science, if they diagnose cancer, one of the reasons that they want to move quickly is because you are dealing with roots. And they want to get to it as quick as possible so it doesn't take hold. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? You know? It's like roots. It's like weeds and various things in the garden. You see a weed or you see something, you think, oh, well, I'm going to garden next week. I'll pull that up. But you should have pulled it up there and then where you see it. Because that week later, that's a lot harder to pull up. It's gained strength, roots. And this is what the Spirit is saying to us. I want to show you things of the enemy because he's starting to sow his seed. He's starting to put out his roots and I want you to deal with it now. Now, doesn't that make sense? Isn't that the love and grace and mercy of God stopping us always from having to battle and long prayers of intercession and everything because I left it for a later time? And we've all done it. So again, ask the Lord, help me to be sensitive to this, not to procrastinate, not to leave it to another time, to be on the ball spiritually, because then you put the enemy to flight. Now there is something I believe the Spirit has revealed to us, the overcomers. It's taken me years to see that one. But when you see it, you want to share it. And I know this is true. I've experienced this. So, praise God. You know, he's going to have us watchful and in prayer and sensitive to the enemy's tactics for the simple reason because we're watching him. He's up to his tricks. And you go no further. No further. In other words, we call it nip it in the bud. Nothing like nipping it in the bud.
Amen.
But we also need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And that also helps us. We're calling this today, aren't we? Prayer life enables us to be watchful. And as I bring this to a close, let's look at Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. And here, Paul is writing his final greetings to the church at Colossae. And he brings up a saint, Epaphras. And he says here, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you always, laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Wow, look what a vision that saint has been given. He is a man of prayer, and the Spirit has revealed to him that I want you to pray for saints, I want you to pray for the church, that they will stand perfect, complete in all the will of God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that that man is faithful, praying that both individually and corporately for the saints. And God is answering those prayers. And that's what we pray one for another. As the Spirit makes us sensitive. And where do we get that sensitivity? Through being watchful, which He enables us. So that we pray, Father, that my sister stands firm in the will of God, that she will know your will for her life and remain faithful to the end. Gosh, our Heavenly Father's going to move heaven and earth for prayers like that, you see. And they're not complicated. It's not rocket science. So often it's very practical how He reveals these things to us. And all I can say as I bring it to a close, just keep at it. Don't be put down. Don't listen to the enemy. Whatever your day has been, just keep at it. Be faithful. Just keep coming before the Lord. Keep talking before God. Keep in prayer before Him. And you will find it starts to become as natural as breathing. And you will find that you'll be able to offer up prayers. You can't always get into your closet. Life isn't that easy. We've all of us got responsibilities. But you can find, you can just offer up that prayer, or you can just go into the lavatory and just offer up a prayer. Or you're driving and you can just find yourself praying, offering up that prayer. Or you're walking down to the shops. You can offer up that prayer, that intercession, that praying in the Spirit. It isn't that complicated. It's because we don't think God is going to answer us. The only way He answers me is when I get into my closet and I'm still and I'm before the Lord. You know? That's no. God is showing us. He's going to hear the prayer of a righteous man because it avails much. And God knows the life that we live. He knows the generation that we're in. And that we can't just always keep going into our closets all the time. A lot of us have families, have jobs, have commitments and so forth. But it doesn't stop us offering up those prayers. And that's why it says in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. In other words, it's that attitude of prayer. I am ready 24/7 to be in prayer and to talk to my Heavenly Father. Amen. He'll do that. He'll do that. And we'll find things change. Things will happen. But above all, it's going to keep me awake, watchful, sensitive to the Spirit. And that's what we want. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for showing us the importance of prayer, how you prayed, and how you're teaching us to pray. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who works this within us and makes it possible. Father, may all of us who've heard this word and will hear this word live up to the standard and to the fruit of this. Lord, work this within our hearts. Whatever the situation, however we feel, whatever we've gone through, just hear ourselves, just do it. And Lord, I thank you. So Father, bless, preserve, keep all of us for your glory. For this we ask now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.